ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य जनञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सह गणलालिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्त कञ्चन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितनां पवानेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू अवर डेली भगवद् गीता क्लासेस। Today we are going to discuss the ninth verse from the third chapter. Third chapter, text 9. We recite first Sanskrit and then everybody repeats, voluntarily, of course. And then we read purport and I will try to say something about the verse. Third chapter. Text number 9. Okay. Yagyarthat karmanon yatra. Yagnyarthat karmanon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Tat artham kama kaunteya. Tat artham kama kaunteya. Mukta sangah samachara. Mukta sangah samachara. Yagyarthat karmanon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Tatartham kama karma kaunteya. Mukta sangah samachara. Yagyarthat karmanon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Tat artham karma kaunteya. Mukta sangah samachara. Yagyarthat karma non yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Tat artham karma kaunteya. Mukta sangah samachara. Please repeat. Yagyarthat karmanon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Tatartham karma kaunteya. Mukta sangah samachara. Karma nyatra. Yam kama kaunteya. Sangha samachara. Karma nyatra. Koyam karma bandhanaha. Na kaunteya. Kasanga samacharaha. Navandanaha. Artham karma kaunteya. Mukta sangha samachara. Yagyarthat karma non yatra. Alang karma bandhanaha. Karma kaunteya. Samachara. Yagyarthat karma non yatra. Koyam karma bandhanaha. Karma kaunteya. Sangha samacharaha. Does anyone else want to repeat? Okay. Yagya arthat, done only for the sake of Yagya or Vishnu. Karmanaha, then work. Anyatra, otherwise. Lokaha, world. I am, this. Karma bandhanaha, bondage by work. Tat, of him. Artham, for the sake. Karma, work. Kaunteya, O son of Kunti. Mukta sangah, liberated from association. Samachara, do perfectly. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Repeat. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction. And in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. Purport. Since one has to work even for the simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for a particular social position and quality are so made that that purpose can be fulfilled. Yagya means Lord Vishnu or sacrificial performances. All sacrificial performances are also meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The Vedas enjoin Yagyo vai Vishnuh. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yagyas or directly serves Lord Vishnu. Krishna consciousness is therefore performance of yagya as it is prescribed in this verse. The Varnashrama institution also aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama charvata purushana parah puman vishnur aradhyate. Vishnu Purana 3:8:8. Therefore, one has to work for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Any other work done in this material world will be a cause of bondage. Any other bondage for both good and evil work have their reactions, and any reaction binds the performer. Therefore, one has to work in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna or Vishnu. And while performing such activities, one is in a liberated stage. This is the great art of doing work, And in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna, or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, under whom Arjuna had the opportunity to work. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification, but everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. This practice will not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. One more time the verse and translation. Yag yarthat karma no nyatra lokoyam karma bandanaha tat artham karma kaunteya mukta sangah samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivanta Swami Niti Namine Nama Ste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. This is the ninth verse. I will be now a little bit, I will give you a structure first. Because this is the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita in general, the first part in which the different yogas or different techniques for achieving the supreme goal means a relationship with absolute. This yogas are described, and in the third chapter, which is entitled Karma Yoga, Krishna gives the direct instruction to Arjuna how to work, because yoga means it's from Sanskrit root verb yuj, means to link. So karma yoga means to link yourself to the absolute, to the supreme, by some action. And first chapter gives it's just introduction. The second chapter is the summary of the whole Gita. And in this chapter, Krishna mentions all the aspects of all yogas, because there are different types of yogas. So, and then third, fourth, and sixth chapters discuss karma, jnana, and Ashtanga Yoga. So in this way, we begin to approach bhakti from the very beginning of spiritual life. Because whatever we do in life or in material world, that causes some reaction. And this is the basis of all yoga teachings. And Krishna is pointing out this here at the very beginning, in the beginning of the third chapter. He gives the key how to, from the ordinary state of our existence, when everyone, before even we know anything about yoga or about any process, spiritual process, we nevertheless perform some activities. We work, we do so many things. We cook, what do we do from the very beginning? We do? No, but I mean in ordinary, not when you are doing the some spiritual process, but even in ordinary life, means life which is not yet focused on spirituality. You perform different activities. Everyone performs different activities. Some waking up in the morning and brushing teeth, and then eating, of preparing breakfast, eating breakfast, then going to work. In work, depends of what work we do. Some do more pious work, some do for more gross work. Some, and then we go back, we do some leisure activities and we sleep. So we do many things. We never are inactive. So the point of karma yoga is that we have to, okay, before I tell what we have to, I tell what we do. Everything we do, it brings us certain result, okay? And it's not only, not only the result that we go to work and we get money for this, because this is obvious, okay? When we have a job, we go every day to the job and we get paid, and this is the result of our endeavor. But also, everything we do from the very beginning of the day, as I told you, that we brush the teeth, it also brings us the result. We cook, it also brings us the result. This is called karma. Whatever activity we perform, we get the reaction. So reaction can be pious, or in the mode of goodness, or can be not so pious. It is said that in the ordinary course of a day, we perform five activities which bring unauspicious results. It's like when we burn a fire, we kill so many living entities just by opening a fire, by burning a fire, by washing plates or washing the floor. We also kill so many living entities we don't even notice. When we breathe, we also kill. So all these activities, even breathing, brings us the results. Okay, and this is what keeps us in the material world, because this result we have to bring reactions, and we have to undergo the reactions for every activity we perform, even breathing. So when we understand this simple thing, that we are bound by our activities, then we are ready to begin our process of liberation. And that's Bhagavad Gita about. It begins from the very simple thing, from directing or from molding our activities in such a way that they won't be binding anymore, they won't cause us suffering or trouble, but they will elevate us and bring us out of this material world. And this first section of the third chapter, because Bhagavad Gita is a very scientific book, and it's based on very clear premises. You just have to understand the structure, and then you can see how precise Krishna is revealing all the knowledge. So, because the first two verses, Arjuna expresses I am talking now about third chapter. In first two verses, Arjuna expresses his bewilderment. He says that because Arjuna in the second, Krishna in the second chapter is speaking about activities. He says first, do your duties, perform your duties, and then he says, use your intelligence. And don't engage in the activity. So Arjuna is perplexed at the beginning of the third chapter. He says, "You want to engage me in the activities, in the war. But why? If you think that intelligence, because Krishna says that he should use intelligence, he says, if you think intelligence is better than work, why I should fight?" Because Arjuna thinks that when you use intelligence, you don't have to do anything. That's what we also think, that when we that we either work by the body, by physical body, or we don't work but just think. There is not possible for the living entity in general to become inactive. We are active in mind or in the body. But Krishna here will ask Arjuna to combine the activities with the intelligence, and this is called buddhi yoga. But this is the next stage after karma, when you work and you know how to work and you know for whom you work. But still, in this first part, first two verses, so Arjuna says that he is bewildered. He doesn't know now, should he work or fight in the battle? This is his duty, this is his job, to fight. Arjuna is a warrior. The job of a cook is to cook, the job of a nurse is to take care about the patients, the job of a driver is to drive, so the job of a warrior is to fight. So he's bewildered, should I do my duties, should I fight, or should I go to the forest and renounce my fighting? And in from the verses 3 to 9, and this is the ninth verse we are discussing now. It closes this short section. This section is called, in this section, Krishna describes the highest form of karma yoga. Okay, this is not the highest form of yoga at all, because the highest form of yoga is bhakti. But at the beginning stage, because we are... We used to perform so many activities, we have to start from using our activities, because on the path of bhakti, you are using everything you have. You don't renounce anything. Okay, in different path of yoga, you are asked to renounce many things, but in bhakti, you don't renounce much. You engage, and that's the difference. That's the beauty of bhakti, that you can engage everything, completely everything you have in your stock. You can engage your body, your mind, your character, your emotions, everything, no exceptions. If you think, okay, I cannot engage something, so Krishna says, no, it's not true. You can engage everything. Even the thing you would think that you cannot, okay? There is no such thing you cannot engage in Krishna consciousness. So, but coming back to this section. So the section starts from text 3 and finishes on the text 9 and is called Bhagavat Arpita Nishkama Karma Yoga. This is the long term. So it's Bhagavan Arpita means that Nishkama Karma Yoga. Means this is the yoga, karma yoga, so yoga based on the activities, but it's nishkama. Nishkama means that you perform your activities, but you don't want the results. Okay? Because usually when we do something, we want the result. For example, we brush our teeth, so we want to have teeth clean. That's the result. But, so how we can change it into Nishkama Karma Yoga, one can ask. So, if you want your teeth clean for yourself, to be more handsome or to smile more nicely to other people, so this is not yoga at all. This is karma. This binds you. Okay, you are more handsome, someone looks at you, and you can go into some kind of relationship, etc., etc. But if you brush your teeth for Krishna, that's different. That's karma yoga. That's you use the same activity, but for different purpose. And this is most simple example, but you can do this with everything. You go to work, okay, you get your money. If you work and get your money to have something for you, this is just karma. This binds you. This makes you stay and enjoy in the material world, and that's what we do usually. But if you want to change it, you still go to work, you still earn money, but with the knowledge that this money is not for me, but for someone else. Okay? And this is someone else. That's also, we can discuss how many stages of someone else, because this is maybe for my family, but it's still material. It's maybe for my country. Someone may work and give the money for the country or for charity. It's still not yoga. But when you go to the stage, when you reach the stage that you work and give the results, in this case your money for Krishna, that's the beginning of yoga. So in this first section, from the verse 3 to 9, Krishna describes this Bhagavat Arpita Nishkama Karma Yoga. Bhagavat Arpita means that you perform activities and you don't want results, and you do this for Krishna, for Bhagavan. Okay? And only this activity, this type of yoga, doesn't bind you to the results. Only when you perform any activity with this attitude, this activity doesn't give the result. Because we may say, okay, what about some activities that give the pleasing results? When you, for example, let's stay with the example of money, you give the half of your money or whatever part for some charitable institution, for the poor children or for animals which have no home or whatever. So yes, or you for any charitable purpose. So yes, you have very good results. This is very pious results. But still, these results don't give you liberation, don't free you from the material world. Because the purpose, the goal of yoga is to get out of this entanglement. So we usually, when we speak about the entanglement, being entangled in the material world, we think about some bad thing, that we are entangled in some heavy reactions, we suffer, etc. But still, we may not suffer much. We may have nice house, nice family, we may live in nice place, not much problems, financial or emotional. But still, we are bound to material world. So it's for someone who knows that there is a way out of the material world, even the perspective of staying in the material world in the most peaceful, it's not possible, but let's say most comfortable way, it's not an option, in fact. So in this section, Krishna says to Arjuna, please practice performing your duty without desire for result, and whatever result comes, please offer this to Vishnu or to Yagya, as Yagya. Yagya means sacrifice. So, offering the activity as sacrifice is the goal of karma yoga. Yeah, it's almost time to finish. So that's why Krishna says that perform your duty for the satisfaction of Vishnu, and in this way you will remain free from bondage. Means that any other activity causes the bondage, means causes that you get the reaction. Okay, do you have any questions at this point or comments about activities, about performing yagya, about how to stop being entangled in these activities? Okay. Okay, just speak and we will try to formulate the question. So basically the beginning, we should begin from the understanding that whatever we do, it's action. Okay, we speak, it's action. We look at each other, it's action. We gesture, it's an action. Anything we do, we breathe, it's action. Okay, so the point is, whatever we do naturally, it's not that we should, Bhagavad Gita, it's a science about being natural. So it Krishna doesn't recommend to do something we don't do. Okay, he's not recommending to do some extra exercises. Okay, he just recommends that whatever you do at this point means you live, basically. You live, you breathe, you eat, you walk, you talk, whatever you do, that's what he's calling the action or activities. So whatever activities you are performing, you should change your consciousness in such a way that you will be conscious about him, about Krishna, and conscious that you can do the same, or means breathing, eating, sleeping, and whatever, but for him, not for yourself. So this is the change of consciousness, basically, we are talking about. That's why Prabhupada used the term Krishna consciousness. The whole point is about consciousness. It's not about changing what you do, because you cannot change your breathing. You can change your breathing, but this is Ashtanga yoga. We are talking about bhakti yoga. It's different. But you cannot, basically, you cannot change what you are doing as a human being. You perform certain activities. You sleep, you breathe, you walk, etc., etc. So just that's why Prabhupada said the bhakti is the most simple way of the most simple yoga, because you just engage these activities. You don't change your activities. The other yogas try to change something, change breathing, change your body posture, change so many things. But in bhakti, you engage. So that's the trick. Is it here? Yes.
I was just thinking of kshetra, the field of activity,
yeah.
And kshetra jnana,
yeah.
Being the knower of the field.
Yes. Yeah, this is the kshetra, kshetragya, it's in 13th chapter, Krishna is explaining what is this. Kshetra, this knowledge that that Arjuna is asking, he's asking about kshetra, kshetragya, purusha, prakriti, and what is jnana and what is gyeya, means what is knowledge and what is what is the object of knowledge, what is matter, what is the spirit. He is asking about these six items. And yes, Krishna is explaining that kshetra is the body, and kshetragya is the knower of the body, means soul, but there are two kshetragyas, soul and spirits, in super soul. And basically, because this is jnana section, so from analytical point of view, we can say, yes, we are kshetras. And whatever we perform with a kshetra, means the senses are kshetra, etc. Yes, we are working in the realm of kshetra. Yes. Yes, this is our field. Because, yes, speaking about kshetra, we are speaking from the point of view of the soul. Yeah, the soul has the field of activity, and this field of activity is kshetra. But we have to remember that when Krishna or Prabhupada refers to kshetra or the body, material body in Bhagavad Gita, it refers always to the gross body, but also subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego. So our body, it's not only what we can see, but also what is the subtle elements. This also kshetra. Hare Krishna. Okay. Yes, thank you. This is a good point. I didn't mention, yes, that we are, for activities, we in yoga, whatever yoga is, it is, we don't get karma, because this is for a sacrifice for Vishnu, okay, whatever we offer, this is no reaction for that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.